Welcome, everybody. This is Marcus Popper. Welcome to the Nightly Share, SharonJoyner.com. Tonight, we'll be discussing Parshas Yisro. And there's a lot of different items to discuss, but I wanted to just actually focus on the Aseret HaDibros, which is the focal point of the entire Parsha, and just share some insights, both from my Rebbe, when it comes to whether or not a person should stand. There's a joke about this. A person comes into a new town, and he goes into the shul, and he sees half the people are standing and half the people are sitting. So he decides to stand because that's what he remembers doing during Kriyas HaTorah, and the people that are sitting are telling him he's a fool. And, you know, he goes over to the Rav, and he finds out there is no Rav in the shul. So he goes to a neighboring town, and he asks the Rav, like, what's the story? So he says, you know, some situation. He says, well, the people that are sitting are yelling at the people that are standing, and the people that are standing are telling the people that they're sitting they should stand up. And he says, ah, I hear you. Machlokas, that's something that everybody can appreciate. But whether it comes to sitting or standing, nobody has a definitive halacha about this. But when it comes to machlokas, that's something that everybody can agree upon. So just to bring this into a narrative, when it comes to what a person should stand or sit, I always stand. And the reason being is because my Rebbe said that every word of the Torah is precious. So if a person is going to stand for their Aseret HaDibros, or he's going to stand for Oz Yashir last week, or he's going to stand by Chazak, Chazak, and Chazak, he should stand just as well by the rest of the Torah reading as well. In order to show that all the Torah is equal in prominence, and so therefore you get out of this issue of sitting and standing and standing and sitting, and even if a person, is sitting by Chazak, Chazak, and Chazak, he should continue sitting. That was Rabbi Tamar Shita. Because if you sat the whole way through, you should continue sitting even through Chazak, Chazak, and Chazak, even through Oz Yashir, even through the Aseret HaDibros. So the point is to be consistent throughout. Okay, so now it's interesting because last year I was curious. I read somewhere that there was a something interesting about the Aseret HaDibros. So I counted that in the Aseret HaDibros there's 172 words. And within those words, there's 620 letters. So I guess we'll talk about the easier one first. The 620 letters is a Tayag Mitzvah and a Zayin Mitzvah Sanei Noach, right? So you get to the 620. And so that's pretty obvious. And actually, it's interesting because the Medrash brings down that the word Ruth, right, is 606 with the Zayin Mitzvah Sanei Noach. She was able to accomplish the Tayag Mitzvah. So that was interesting, you know, numerical. But equally interesting is this 172. So if you think about the 172, you have to think about the letters that comprise 172. There's three letters, Ayin, Kuf, Vez. And Ayin, Kuf, Vez is Akev. Akev, Asher Shamat B'Koli. That's what Avraham Avinu was known for. Hashem chose Avraham. Why? Because he knew that Avraham was going to listen to what he had to say. And when did Avram be Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When did Avram recognize Hashem? Akev, right? For 172 years of his life. So since Avram Avinu lived 175 years, so we can deduce that he was Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu at age 3, which means that if he tied back to the Medrash, at the time that Avram Avinu was breaking all of Terach, his father's idols, and Terach comes in and says, how could you do this? The idols are going to get upset. And he said, no. The big one over here, he got jealous of all the other idols. So he's the one who destroyed it. And Terah said, that's crazy. Idols can't do things like this. So Avraham Avinu said, ah, there you go. And that's when he brought him to Nimrod. And, you know, Nimrod got the name because he was Moreh B'Malchus. He considered himself to be a deity, a god. And Terah said, listen, I have no idea what to do with my son. So Nimrod said, listen, we don't have room for people like you. So they threw him into the Kibshon HaEish. And we all know the story. Right, that Avram emerged. But there was a hidden story behind this, and that is that his brother, Haran, went ahead and said that if Avram, my brother, succeeds and walks out of there unscathed, then I will follow my brother. And if not, then I'm not going to follow my brother. So since Avram walked out, Haran jumped in, and Haran perished. So we can say that it was a failed mission because, you know, you have one person succeeding and the other person failing. And I like to suggest something totally different, and that is that we say, Apishnai Eidim Yakum Davar, that on account of two witnesses, we establish a new modicum, a new dictum, which is that because Avraham Avinu was able to succeed in coming out, that's what the Pasuk later on says, Esan Nefesh Asu B'Haran, right? That these are the all the nefashos that Avraham Avinu did in Haran. What does it mean, Haran? So the difference between a ches and a hey is just a drop of ink, my father used to say. Really, they're very much the same letter. So as a result of Avraham Avinu's outreach, even, you know, through the demise of his brother, he was able to set a new precedent, which made his presence in his former land very uncomfortable. And that's when Avraham Avinu lechacha, you know, because letovascha, as Rashi says, it's for your own benefit for you to leave. Okay, so we diverge. Ekev is one word. Ekev, v'haya ekev tishma'un, that you should listen to the voice. So sometimes we have a parsha in Dvarim called Ekev, right? And sometimes Chazal say that it's more important to be a listener than it is to be a talker. Oftentimes we have what to say and plenty of good advice to share, and we have something to say to somebody else because we know better. But a lot of times the best therapy is to be a listening ear. And that's really what people really need. V'haya ekev tishma'un. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us that I have all these mitzvahs. Tishma'un, listen closely to them. Rashi and Parshas Ekev discusses the phenomenon of David HaMelech, and that was that David HaMelech was careful with all of the difficult mitzvahs, but the small ones, Tash V'Akvav, he was pushed them aside. So David HaMelech was concerned that if he's pushing these small things aside, it's not a good situation. So therefore, we have to be careful with the small and the big. That's Rashi's message. But Ekev clearly means to listen. But there's another way. Shamai Omer Asei Torascha Keva. That a person should make his Torah Keva. Keva is the same letters as Ekev. Ayin Kuv Vez. Keva is Kuv Vez Ayin. Asei Torascha Keva, set aside a time for learning. So what does that mean? Keva means that, does it mean that you should be learning a whole day? No. It means the Gisa B'Yom V'Layla. How does someone accomplish the Gisa B'Yom V'Layla? You should immerse yourself in Torah day and night. If a person is working, if a person's, you know, running and doing the laundry and picking up kids and going in carpool and this and that. And no, the Haya Ekev Tishma'un, how are you supposed to fulfill this mandate of 24/7 when you have other obligations? And then you have this other part of this, of Shammai says, Asei Torah Fakeva. So the answer is that even when you're doing all of these other rather mundane activities, you still could be thinking about how you could be making a Kiddush Hashem with your time. And time is precious. All we have in this world is time. We have money comes and goes, right? We say, Mos is money. Mos means meisleis. It goes from one person to another person. Your money comes into your bank account. It goes out for utilities. It goes out for tuition. It goes out for grocery bills. It goes out for this and for that. And before you know it, you know, you save up a little bit, and over time, hopefully you have enough to live off of it in the golden years, so to speak, right? But the idea is that all we have, really, is time. And what we take with us into the next world is the investments of time into Torah, Mitzvot, and Matan Tovim. And that's really the legacy. That's the eternal legacy of every individual, of every Jew, right? We can't take our money with us. You can't take a wagon load. You can't even take a sock. You can't take anything. So all we have is this Asei Torah Keva. Keva could mean 5-10 minutes a night. Right, we have sheer enjoyment, Baruch Hashem. So that's Asei Torah Keva. We have 10 minutes, 10 for 10, as a brainchild of Ari Perlman and I to put this thing together many, many moons ago. In 2013 was our first year, July 8th. I think it was Parshas Balak. And so, you know, the idea of just putting aside 10 minutes, you know, in perspective of the entire day, was something that we felt was doable. And Baruch Hashem was still doing it. So the idea is that Asei Torah Keva, that even when a person is, you know, immersed in all of his daily routine activities, and he thinks to himself, I got a flat tire, how is that beneficial to me? Now I can't be productive. No, you know, you can still make a Kiddush Hashem in the way you interact with the people that come from AAA to help you with the tire, or your friends, Chaverim, that you call up, and you can be a mensch. And when you act like a mensch, it's Kiddush Hashem is not just, Rav Bachya says, among Jewish people. It's non-Jewish people, among Jewish people as well. And the same thing is true with the opposite, right? Because the pasuk says, "V'nikdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael, v'lo sechal Hashem kashi." Why does it say both? It should be enough to say "V'nikdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael." So the answer is that when a person is being mekadeshim shemayim, he should not be making chal Hashem. What does that mean? For example, a person goes to minyan, he double parks in front of someone's house, and the guy has to take his wife to the hospital, and he says, "You know, I'm busy, you know, davening shemayim, shemayim esrei, yahakin achainik banging on the bima. I should move the car so you can take your wife to the hospital because she's not feeling well. Don't you understand that my tefillos, they're so important. They're going straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, no, 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 that's not the way you perform mitzvahs, right? The nikdash to besoch meisol, you do a kiddush Hashem, but when you're doing your mitzvahs, Masim Tovim, don't make a chal Hashem. So that's the message of Asei Toras HaKeva. And then we have another word that says, Bekal HaGolas, that when it comes to giving of the Maisa, we should always be, you know, giving of ourselves and not withholding, right? And I think this ties in really well to the closeout of the shir, which is that the last of the Asaras Zivros is the Sachmo. Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachya and many other Mefarshim, I believe, I saw it inside Rabbeinu Bachya, and I recall seeing it last year in the Ramban, that the Lo Sachmo is the last one. And if you look at Rabbeinu Bachya, he says that... Ramban Bachi goes into some Kabbalistic stuff, so we're not going to touch upon that at all, because I think it's way too deep for the time that we have. But just on a very high level, what is interesting about Lo Sachmo, that we shouldn't be jealous, is that if someone is not jealous, then he never comes to Lo Signov, Lo Sinov, he doesn't come to Lo Tirzach, he doesn't come to jealousy, he doesn't come to rare forms of theft, both in daylight and during the nighttime. Aganov and Agazim, the difference between the two is one is stealing by day, and, you know, he's not afraid of anybody, and one is, you know, stealing by night because he's afraid of the Baal HaBayis, he's not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a lot of different onshin, punishments, when, depending on what type of theft and when it occurs. But Moshe Rabbeinu, just to give you an example of how Moshe Rabbeinu protected the Jewish people from Lo Sachmo, not to be jealous, and we'll close out with this idea, is that when the Bnei Yisrael were encamped in the desert, now one Pesach of our doors opened up into the other, meaning that if I opened my door, all I saw was a brick wall. I didn't see into someone else's home. Why is that, you know, critical? Because if you're able to see into someone else's home, you'll see that, you know, your neighbor's wife has pretty jewelry, or they're driving a certain type of vehicle, or their house has certain things that you're jealous about. And jealousy is a very, very difficult thing to overcome, because people get jealous very, very easily. And instead of judging a person correctly, they often judge a person incorrectly, meaning they look to find things in another individual that are inconsistent with all of the riches and wealth that the person has been able to accomplish. But they have no idea about Zchus Avos. They have no idea about what mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim this person may have done, either himself, in which this is the interest, or maybe the person is not doing anything at all, and he's living a life of Riley, and he's not concerned at all about Torah mitzvahs, but he could be living off of Zchus Avos from prior generations. It's a tremendous zchus for him. And that's what he may be enjoying. So we don't really have any idea, but yet a person is able to judge, and that is a very dangerous thing, because when a person judges incorrectly and then he becomes jealous, then it leads to theft, and theft could, if there's any battle that ensues about protecting the theft from the ganav or the gazlan, it could also lead to murder. And murder would be the worst outcome of any situation. So that's something that we always obviously try to avoid at all costs, right? And how do we do that? By not opening our eyes to someone else. And that the beauty within the mikdash, and we'll learn about this in the future parshios, is the majesty within the home. That we have to be beautiful. That's what they say, that a negatzaras, you have to go out and tear out the walls, right, when it comes to tzaras. Why? Because inside the walls, and we'll learn about this in Parshat Tazria and the Torah, they were able to find all of these hidden jewels that the prior inhabitants had hidden behind. And the messaging is very powerful. The Torah tells us that within your home you have tzaras because you're speaking poorly about someone else. If only you would see the majesty and the beauty within, you would never find yourself talking poorly about somebody else. Excuse me. You would find yourself speaking praises about your own family. You would praise your children, praise your wife, praise yourself, and be happy. That a person who's happy is someone who's happy with his lot. What does it mean to be happy with your lot? Meaning that you look around you and you say, thank you, Hashem, for all of the wonderful things you've given me. And, I'm so appreciative. I don't even know how to say thanks. So that would be one demonstration. So Lo Sachmod And so therefore, when Bilam comes out to say something negative about the Jewish people, what is he left to say? He says, Matov Olach Yaakov, Mishma Sach Yisrael. Because if the Jewish people themselves are not speaking poorly about one another, then how do I have the audacity to speak negatively about them? They have not given me a piskon peh. When is there a piskon peh? When is there an opportunity to speak negative? When we speak negative about one another. And if we, you know, are proponents and advocates of negativity, then it's very easy for others to jump on board and to say, hey, you know, what's the big deal if I say something negative? They're talking this way anyway. But Moshe Rabbeinu protected the Jewish people. We were not able to see into each other's homes. We were not able to be jealous of one another. And so therefore, there was nothing that Bilam could say in that respect. And that's why he said, Matovu Olach Yaakov, how great are the tents of Jacob, Mishkan Asachi, you saw the dwellings of Israel. Because everything inside those camps, in those tents, was wonderful, beautiful, and we were all able to see at that moment in time the majesty and the beauty within. We should be zocha to always see the majesty and the beauty within our own homes, and we should be able, hopefully, to always think and speak positive about one another. And that's chus, we should be protected from those who seek to use words in a negative way. And the Metz Hashem, God willing, we should only be blessed with Pesuros Tovos, good things, this week, upcoming, and every week that follows. Mordechai Plotsky wishing you the very best from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Have a great night and a wonderful week.